You're listening to Iceland News Review, the weekly news podcast of Iceland Review. Subscribe and tune in each Friday to get the latest from our fair shores. I'm Andy Sophia Fontaine, and these are the week's top stories in Iceland. First up on Iceland News Review, at the time of this recording, it's an Icelandic holiday known as the first day of summer. Before you check your calendars, or hurriedly leave a comment to point out when the summer solstice is, this is a special occasion that harkens back to the medieval Icelandic calendar. Back in those days, there were essentially two seasons, short days and nightless days. On the first Thursday after April 18th, the nightless days portion of the year supposedly begins as the first day of summer. In case you were wondering when the actual nightless days begin, well, that's an interesting question. Technically speaking, night ceases to be a thing in the greater Reykjavik area around April 1st. By the middle of the month, astronomical twilight ends. Come early May, we no longer experience nautical twilight, and then, at some point between early and mid-June, civil twilight disappears altogether and we won't see it again until July. In short, when the time of the midnight sun begins depends entirely on what you might consider nighttime. Back to the first day of summer. This is typically a day off for a lot of Icelandic workers. It's a time for going outside with friends and family, getting some ice cream, or watching a parade. Weather permitting, of course. And speaking of the weather, there is an old Icelandic superstition that if it freezes the night before the first day of summer, then the summer to come will be warm and mild. This is known as winter and summer freezing together. In case you were wondering, temperatures on the 24th this year did not go below zero. Fret not, though. Actual meteorologists in Iceland who don't rely on superstitions predict that this summer in Iceland is going to be warm, sunny, and dry. Seismic activity in Reykjanes is giving every indication that an eruption could occur at any moment. Scientists believe it will go off at roughly the same location as before. Viðar Reynason of Civic Protection told reporters that since the fourth eruption on March 16th, activity appeared to be calming. Although the eruption has been steady, there were no indications that activity was increasing. That changed in early April as the ground surface began to rise again. This is a typical sign of magma gathering beneath the surface of the Earth. The rising has reached a level where now an eruption is predicted to occur at any moment. Benedikt Ófeigsson, a geophysicist at the Icelandic Met Office, told reporters he considers it unlikely that eruption will occur anywhere else but where it already is. As such, it may erupt near Grindavík or Svartsengi. As it stands now, scientists are monitoring the situation closely. In news that will likely come as a relief to locals and visitors alike, inflation has been declining in Iceland. That said, inflation in Iceland is still comparatively high, at least within the context of the rest of the European economic area. Whereas inflation in the EEA last month was at 2.6%, in Iceland it was 5.1%. Iceland is not, however, the country with the highest inflation rate in Europe. That distinction goes to Turkey, with a January 2024 inflation rate of 64.9%. While 5.1% may not be ideal, inflation in Iceland has been trending downward. In February of last year, it was at 8.8%, and in October 2022, 11.5%. All this being the case, the Consumer Price Index is also trending downwards, boding especially well for Icelandic residents in the wake of recent collective bargaining negotiations. Will there be fin whale hunting this summer, or won't there? That's a question that remains up in the air for the time being. When Katrin Jakobsdottir left her post as prime minister in order to run for president, amongst the cabinet changes was the appointment of a new minister of fisheries, Bjarke Olsen-Gunnarsdottir. She comes from the Left Green movement, the same party that her predecessor, Svandís Svavarsdóttir, belongs to. Svandís famously issued a temporary ban on fin whale hunting last summer, citing a report from the Food and Veterinary Authority. This report stated that Kvalur, Iceland's last fin whale hunting company, had not complied with animal welfare laws in its hunts. That ban is now over, but the season has yet to begin. Kvalur CEO Kristján Lofsson recently expressed skepticism that his company would be able to hunt fin whales in time for the summer. This opinion was based on having applied for a permit to hunt whales, yet still not receiving a reply. Christian believes that this may not give the company enough time to hire staff and make other preparations in time for the start of the season. For her part, Bjarke refused to comment on whether or not she will grant the permit. She has said that there is no set time limit for when she is supposed to announce her decision, and that the permit application is going through a proper ministerial process. Going back to Katrin Jakobsdottir running for president. On a recent panel discussion show, Katrin, along with candidates Hatla Tomasdottir and Steinunn Olina Thorsteinsdottir, discussed the presidential veto. This is a pretty interesting twist to a former prime minister running for president. You see, parliament passing a bill isn't enough to make it a law. Our constitution states that it needs to be signed by the president in order to make it a law. If the president refuses, then the legislation is put to a public referendum. This veto power is rarely used, but it does happen, most famously in the IceSave debacle of 2010. The question raised at the panel was this. Would it not be a conflict of interest for a president to be presented with legislation that they, while they were prime minister, helped create? Katrin responded by saying that she would absolutely be objective. She emphasized that she would exercise the veto power in instances where there was a gap between the actions of parliament and the will of the people. She noted that her personal politics are a matter of public record, and that voters could see for themselves if she were acting in a conflict of interest. Steinunn Olina was skeptical of these claims. In a video she posted to social media, she pointed out that the Left Greens, the party that Katrin once led, has been pushing an aquaculture bill that has been heavily criticized by such organizations as the Federation of Icelandic River Owners and the Icelandic Wildlife Fund. Steinunn added if anyone would believe that Katrin, as president, would veto a deeply unpopular bill that she nonetheless helped create. Presidential elections in Iceland will be held on June 1st. At the time of this recording, Katrin and political scientist Baldur Thorhason have been at or near the top of the polls. Lastly on Iceland News Review, we have on many occasions reported on the South Iceland village of Vík í Mýrdal. This village has just over 800 people, about 42% of whom are immigrants. Now, while only Icelandic citizens can vote in parliamentary or presidential elections, non-citizens can vote in municipal elections if they have lived in that municipality for at least 3 years. With so many residents of foreign origin, Vík decided to create something special, an English-speaking council. There, the mayor attends, reports to the council on what the greater municipal council has been up to, and listens to the input of immigrant voters. While this idea has been controversial, it has been mostly received very positively. Most recently, the council received an award from the Icelandic Regional Development Institute. Furthermore, the NGO Women of Foreign Origin in Iceland also applauded the English-speaking council, saying in part that it, quote, creates an opportunity for immigrants to learn about the Icelandic political system, but also encourages them to become active participants in our society, end quote. If you like hearing about news from Iceland, maybe you'd like to visit sometime. But what if I told you that you could win a free trip to Iceland too? Visit our webpage at icelandreview.com to learn more, but hurry, this contest ends on May 17th. Next up, the weather this weekend. Friday is going to be warm, mild, and sunny across the southwest half of Iceland. In the northeast, it'll be cloudy and cooler, but with very little precipitation, if any. These conditions will persist as we head into Saturday, but there may be some rain in the northeast in the morning. Fortunately, that should clear up by late afternoon, early evening. Come Sunday, it could be cloudy across the south, but temperatures will remain warm, with skies clearing up by evening time. As for road conditions, bear in mind that all roads into the highlands are closed to regular traffic, so don't try heading up there unless you're in a glacier tour group or something similar. Also, avoid the eruption site at all costs, and do not stop by the site of Reykjanesbraut to photograph or film the eruption. Apart from that, road conditions are great all over the Icelandic coastline. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to like, subscribe, and follow us on social media, whether it be Facebook, Instagram, or X. For all your travel needs in Iceland, be sure to visit n.vedur.is. That's n.vedur.is, as well as road.is and safetravel.is. Through these three websites, you'll get up-to-the-minute information on weather and road conditions, as well as possible incoming natural events. By staying updated through these sites, you'll not only save yourself a lot of time and money, you'll also be able to enjoy Iceland with peace of mind. That's all for me this week on Iceland News Review. Be good to each other.